There's a comedian in Branson, Missouri, and his catchphrase was, or maybe still is, "What a country." What a country. Talking about the United States, because he came from Russia, I believe. And today, in order to be a good country-loving American, you must protect baby seals and eaglets. At the same time, you must battle for the right to kill babies. You cannot tolerate prayer before a football game. I hope that's still not true here. When we lived in Texas, we came to Dallas and got to see a football game, and I was so surprised at the amount of people that were there at a high school football game. And all the noise that was before the game and the celebration. And then, all of a sudden, it got pin drop quiet. And a prayer was offered. Both teams, everybody out on the field, their knees hit the ground. Remember it like it was yesterday. I hope it's still going on. But in other parts of the country, it is not, or is not allowed. To be a good American today, you cannot allow a manger scene at the courthouse, or the Ten Commandments on the wall. And I'm not promoting the manger scene, but you understand where I'm going. But on the other hand, you must provide the Muslims for a place to play or to pray in the school, and at the same time, you may recite Muhammad in a school paper, but you can't quote Jesus in a commencement speech. Indeed, what a country. What a country. You name one thing in this country that we are doing that is obeying God. Are our families, businesses, schools, our political situation, the several thousand different churches in this country? I remember when I was a boy, there were 200, and all the preachers were saying, "Oh, 200 churches, and now, what, 3,000? And still growing. Are we doing anything right in this country? Drugs, how long will it be before they are legal? Gambling, social drinking, and a lot of this began in our lifetime. God warned Israel time after time, but they did not listen. You studied the Old Testament, you know. We are not mourning over our sins, as Jesus said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Mourning over our sins. And we're not doing that today. James in chapter 4, verses 7 through 10 tells us to weep and to howl, to mourn over our sins. How are we doing? Let me give you an Old Testament illustration. Jeremiah. We call him the weeping prophet, and you would weep too if what happened to him would happen to you. We read last night in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10, where Jeremiah was to pull down, to destroy, to uproot, and so on. And beginning in chapter 2 and verse 1 of the book of Jeremiah, he says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. And all that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain?" He's saying, I led you, I guided you, and you were the light of my life, as it were. But what has changed? Now you're going after idols. Verse 6, "Neither said they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof, the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after the things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, with your children's children will I plead. Then he gives them this request. Before I read it to you, I'm going to tell you what he's going to say. Go to other nations who worship idols, and see if they have done what you have done, and that is change their gods. He says, go to verse 10, for pass over the isles of Chittim, and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory, that is God, for that which doth not profit, that is idols. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Why would people turn from God to a piece of wood? Let me ask you, let's just say, we're going to make this thing here our God. This piece of wood, our God. Well, you know what we're going to do with it, don't you? We're going to pretty it up. We're going to put diamonds and gold in it. We're going to paint it up real nice. And we're going to put lighting on it so that when you come in, wow, awesome God. But we're going to have Stan come up here and listen for it to talk to him. How long is he going to have to wait? You notice I didn't volunteer. How long is he going to have to wait before this thing talks to him? A while, huh? And so, well, since it's not going to talk to us, it's not going to give us what rules it wants us to worship it by, who's going to make them up? Why, we are. We are. And what kind of rules are we going to make to worship this God? I guarantee you they'll be fun rules. If the school masters, when I was little, had said, Mo, what days do you want to go to school? I'd have made it fun time. I might have had a Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday morning, and that'd been about it. We'd been off the rest of the time. See, they're going to be fun rules. That's why when you have idolatry, you also have another eye that goes along with it, and that is immorality. Not sometime, all of the time. Ask our Roman Catholic friends. You know the immorality that's going on there? You don't know the half of it. But that's what happens with idolatry. God said, you gave me up the fountain of living waters, and you have done what? Hewed yourself out cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. Why? God said, don't you be afraid of their faces that they're going to make at you. I've preached to some people sometimes that didn't like what I was saying. And a couple of them were sitting in the back doing this. Shaking their head. They didn't agree with what I was saying. Can't help it. Jeremiah, God said, you teach what I tell you to teach. Well, they didn't do what Jeremiah said, did they? They didn't obey God like God had said. Go back to the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 28, the first 14 verses. God said, I'll bless you, I'll bless you, I'll bless you. Then the next several verses, he said, I'll curse you, I'll curse you, I'll curse you. And they chose the curses. Why? Why? What if you have been taken from Fort Worth for years, taken captive, and you come back to Fort Worth, this area, and you see it burn to a crisp, flat. This is where you were brought up. This was your stomping grounds. and you came back and it's all gone, would it make you shed a tear? It did Jeremiah when he came back home. In Lamentations chapter 1, I read from the New International Version for clarity's sake. I chose this version. He says, Lamentations chapter 1, verse 1, how deserted lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she, who once was great among the nations. She who was queen among the provinces has now become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night. Tears are upon her cheeks. Among all her lovers there is none to comfort her. Let me tell you, when this nation goes down, our so-called friends, where will they be? I know where they'll be. Like Judah's friends. None to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. After affliction and harsh labor, Judah has gone into exile. She dwells among the nations. She finds no resting place. All who pursue her have overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to her appointed feasts. All her gateways are desolate. Her priests groan. Her maidens grieve, and she is in bitter anguish. Her foes have become her masters. Her enemies are at ease. The Lord has brought her grief because of her many sins. Her children have gone into exile, captive before the foe. All the splendor has departed from the daughter of Zion. Her princes are like deer that find no pasture. In weakness they have fled before the pursuer. In the days of her affliction and wandering, Jerusalem remembering all the treasures that were hers in days of old. When her people fell into enemy hands, there was no one to help her. Her enemies looked at her and laughed at her destruction. Jerusalem has sinned greatly and so has become unclean. All who honored her despise her, for they have seen her nakedness. She herself groans and turns away. And that type language continues to go in that context. And you can read it on your own. Maybe you've received the email that was a few years ago. Remember Judge Roy Moore in Alabama? He would not remove the Ten Commandments from his courtroom, and they took him out of the courthouse, would no longer allow him to practice law. And before I read the poem that he wrote, you remember about almost going on 10 years, 9/11? Duh. Yes, you do. Remember all the God Bless America signs that you saw? Cars with the flags and God Bless America in the rear window, and businesses and on their sign and in their window, God Bless. You know what? He's been doing that for 200 plus years. We ought to thank him for what he's done. It's as though he's not blessed us. But Judge Roy Moore wrote this poem called America the Beautiful. America the Beautiful, or so you used to be. Land of the Pilgrim's pride, I'm glad they'll never see babies piled in dumpsters, abortion on demand. Oh, sweet land of liberty, your house is on the sand. Our children wander aimlessly, poisoned by cocaine, choosing to indulge their lusts when God has said abstain. From sea to shining sea, our nation turns away from the teaching of God's love and a need to always pray. We've kept God in our temples. How callous we have grown, when earth is but his footstool and heaven is his throne. We voted in a government that's rotting at the core, appointing godless judges who throw reason out the door. Too soft to place a killer in a well-deserved tomb, but brave enough to kill a baby before he leaves the womb. You think that God's not angry, that our land's a moral slum? How much longer will he wait before his judgment comes? How are we to face our God from whom we cannot hide? What then is left for us to do but stem this evil tide? If we who are his children will humbly turn and pray, seek his holy face and mend our evil way, then God will hear from heaven and forgive us of our sins. He'll heal our sickly land and those who live within. But, America the beautiful, if you don't, then you will see a sad but holy God withdraw his hand from thee. It is going to happen. We are repeating history. We haven't learned from history, and our nation is on its way to destruction. When? I do not know. That is God's business. I just know that nations that have done what our nation is doing do not and will not, cannot survive. It just will not happen. So tonight we study with you biblical solutions to living in an unrighteous nation. And I want to show you a little bit of our history. When our nation was founded, and that it was founded on godly principles. And you're going to do a lot of reading with me. I want you to see it and what you hear. This is a lot of what we remember is what we see and what we hear. 52 of the men that worked on the Declaration of Independence were believers in God and members of denominations. Patrick Henry, the fellow that said, "Give me liberty or give me death," said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." The New England Primer? First textbook used in the United States from 1690 to the early 1900s. First graders learned the alphabet from this book. You want to know how they learned it? Each letter, A, B, C, was from the Bible. I'll give you a few examples. A, from Proverbs 10 and verse 1. "A wise son maketh a glad father." B, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than a great treasure and trouble therewith." Proverbs 15, 6. C, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is what first graders learned on the Word of God. And I know I skipped D, but because of this verse here. E was, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." We could go on. They learned the alphabet from the Bible verses. Is that cruel and inhuman punishment? Again, questions in the back of the book. What is the fifth commandment of the ten? What is forbidden in the fifth commandment? What is required in the sixth commandment? What is forbidden in the sixth commandment? For 200 years, it was the foundation of our educational system. Is it any more? The first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, John Jay, said, "Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers. And it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers." Amazing, isn't it? How long since you heard language like that? How long will it be before you hear it again? Something's going to have to change drastically, isn't it? George Washington's farewell address: "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars." This is the foundation upon which our country was built. Men who believed in God. This part of his speech, if any part of his speech, has been taken out of our textbooks today. Religion, morality, and politics can't be separated, so said the father of our country. For 200 years, we've been under the same document, our Constitution. France had a revolution the same time we did, and they have been under 7 different forms of government. Want to change? Italy has gone through 51 forms of government. Have we been blessed by God or what? No, I don't want to trade. To answer that question, from whom did our founding fathers quote? The University of Houston. Not many universities would do this kind of a study. They found from 15,000 documents, after 10 years of research, this wasn't done overnight, that 34% of the founders' quotes were directly out of the Bible. You didn't know it was that much. You knew they quoted from the Bible quite a bit. Their concept for the three branches of government, want to know where it came from? Right here. Isaiah 33:22. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. It is He who will save us. Thus, our judge, the judicial, the lawgiver, the legislative, and the king, the executive branch of our government. That's where they went. That's where they got the idea. Pretty good foundation, wouldn't you say? For the separation of powers, you may wonder, what does this have to do with? Listen, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Thus they recognized that a check and balance system was necessary. They didn't want a king. They wanted to have a check and balance so it didn't swing too far this way or too far this way. They'd been there, done that. It did not work. They found it all in the Word of God. Their concept for tax exemption for churches, however long that may last. Ezra 7:24, you are also to know that you have no authority to impose taxes, tribute, or duty on any of the priests, Levites, singers, gatekeepers, temple servants, or other workers at this house of God. That's where it came from, folks. They didn't just say, should we tax these people? No, that's where they got the idea. The First Amendment that says Congress shall make no law respecting establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's a blessing and a curse, isn't it? A blessing in that you and I can do what we're doing tonight without, as we've prayed so long, without fear of being molested in any way. What a blessing. You know, even in this world today, there are people who can't say that. They are hiding as they serve God. Hiding for fear of their life being taken. Are we blessed? Has God blessed America? You see any mention of separation of church and state in the First Amendment? Pardon me, but it ain't there. None of those words are used. Leaders today don't want freedom of religion, but they want freedom from religion. If they had their way, it'd all be removed. 10 commandments, everything. And I know we're not under them. And they don't even understand that either. The First Amendment again. Purpose of the First Amendment. So one denomination wouldn't run the nation. They had freed themselves from that. I want to go back into it. The Church of England, they didn't want that again. So they tried something new. They wanted God's principles. And I believe that's one reason this nation has stood as long as it has. Dr. William James, the father of modern psychology, said, "There's nothing so absurd that if you repeat it often enough, people will believe it." Well, Alexander Campbell said about Joseph Smith's Mormonism that it'll never work. Guess what? You repeat something long enough, people will believe it. You know how they got over to America? In a flying saucers type ship that had a hole in the top and a hole in the bottom. And they said in case there was a storm and it flipped over, they'd still be able to get air. You want to try sailing in a boat with a hole in the top and a hole in the bottom? As the song says, me neither. But you repeat something long enough, and often enough, people will believe it. The Supreme Court, after 1947, began saying that separation of church and state was what the founding fathers wanted without proving it. Just say it. Just say it and keep on saying it. People will believe it. Supreme Court case, 1958. You can read those names. A dissenting judge warned that continuing talk about the separation of church and state would make people think it was part of the Constitution. How true. Another case in June 25th, 1962. Prayer was taken out of schools under the pretense that separation of church and state was in the First Amendment. You say it long enough? Well, I guess it must be. Our government says so. Like a lot of people today are sitting in pews in their churches, and our pastor says so, and he said it often enough that it must be true. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You can't die and go to hell. That must be true because our preacher says it. Separation of church and state is not in the Constitution, according to the Engle-Vitale 1962 case. Real turning point. A brand new law. School prayer had never been challenged before. And afterward, prayer was removed. Next was Bible reading in schools. How much of it's done today? How much? Bible classes and religious instruction in schools taken out of the way? My brother won a contest about 100 years ago in grade school, back in the 1950s. And you know what the prize was? A Bible. A Bible. Anybody handing out Bibles in school today, you win a prize? No, you're shaking your head on the inside this way, aren't you? No, they're not. Another Supreme Court case, June 17, 1963, if portions of the New Testament were read without explanation, they could be and had been psychologically harmful to the child. Read that again. If portions of the New Testament were read without explanation, they could be and had been psychologically harmful to the child. In other words, it could cause brain damage. So you keep your Bible closed. Don't let your children see it. Who's behind that? God? No, it's Satan himself, our adversary, the devil, working from the top down. I dated a Catholic girl. Talked to her about the Bible. And I know hope was used to be. Thank God, it's a used to be. But that girl's name was Donna. She told me, my priest tells me not to read. And she said, he said, if you do and you have trouble, come to me and I'll explain it. And I added one more word, away. He'll explain it away if you have a question. Things he could not answer. And we gave her some things to think about, but it didn't work with her. Reading of the Bible, they said, could cause brain damage. Remember that. Children were allowed to pray over lunch at school as long as no one could tell it was a prayer. Supreme Court case, 1965. Remember, Eli thought Hannah was drunk. Because she was praying. Later, no prayer and athletic contest, as we mentioned at the outset of this lesson. And I preached this sermon in several states. Go Texas. 67 case. A four-line nursery rhyme was considered unconstitutional. Reason? Although the word God was not mentioned, if someone were to hear the rhyme, he might think it was talking about God. Might cause more brain damage. You know these kids? Start talking about God in the Bible. 1980 Supreme Court case, Ten Commandments display. If the posted copies of the Ten Commandments are to have any effect at all, it will be to induce the school children to read, meditate upon, perhaps to venerate, that is to really like, and obey the commandments, which is not a permissive objective. The young people at home tell me not to use this word stupid, but I can't help it. That's just stupid. You see what happens. You talk about brain damage, it's people who listen to things like that. Don't let our kids see it. They might want to obey. James Madison, chief architect of our Constitution, said, we have staked the whole future of American civilization, not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of all our political institutions upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. They misunderstood it then too. But now even they are removed. 22-word prayer was considered unconstitutional. Listen to this. Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon Thee, and we beg Thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. Shh. No. Can't do that. God's only mentioned one time, but that's too much. I remember about in 53 or 54 when they added under God. I had the Pledge of Allegiance memorized, and then they added under God. But I was glad. One nation, and we said it under God. Now it's threatened to be taken out. Less than a half century later, a little more. Going in the right direction? What do you think? 1962, the court reported that only 3% of our nation did not believe in religion or God. So, 3% has now become a majority. About 40 years ago, we started talking about or hearing about the silent majority. We have kept silent too long. And I'm afraid it may be too late. First time a minority ever won, 97% lost. Washington's farewell address, again, he said, morality cannot be maintained without religious principles. Is it any wonder? And again, our jaws do not drop when we hear of shooting in schools, shooting in businesses, mothers killing fathers, fathers killing mothers, brothers killing brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers. I don't go anymore. It's just everywhere. The four groups that we mentioned in that prayer, that 22-word prayer, the students, the parents, the teachers, and our country. High school students, since that prayer was taken away. Birth per 1,000 in 1951 was 12 and under. Until 1963, when we started heading in this direction. In 1987, 35 per 1,000, and still climbing. Probably close to 50. The ages of 10 to 14-year-old has increased 553% since 1963 of unwed births. Sexually transmitted diseases, murders, drugs, alcoholic suicides, just increased limitless numbers. Not to mention 40% of high school grads that can't read above the fourth grade level. What's happening? No discipline. The second word mentioned in that little prayer concerning parents, divorce had been on the decline, but in 63 it began to climb. The United States now leads the world. 5 million Americans living together. I never heard that term when we were growing up, living together. That meant mom and dad. Married. Yeah, we're living together. Not so today. Single parent families up 150%. Again, the third word, teachers. SAT scores plummeted since 1963. Things we don't see, we don't hear about. Again, graduates can't read, don't know math, don't know history. Jay Leno asked some simple questions. Have you seen some of those? It's hilarious until you begin to think. Here are 20-year-olds that don't even know the basics about our country. More private schools and homes. Homeschooling, no Bible principles in public schools. That's why we're having what we're having. I really appreciate our teachers willing to risk life and limb many times. Again, the fourth group, our country. Has anything, not unless you just graduated, if you've been graduated 20 or 30 years, have you seen some changes? Silly question. Remember when chewing gum was punishable or talking in class? Go to the office. Oh, no. Going to the office was the electric chair. Everybody knew, Mo got sent to the office. And when he got home, he's going to get more. And that principal had a big board. It wasn't a board of education. Well, I guess it was. It had holes in it, I think, so he could swing it faster. Nobody ever had to ask, did it hurt? I was out in the hall when one boy was getting his. I heard it between two doors. Yeah, it hurt. No Ten Commandments, what happens? You know, you tell people long enough that they come from little speck in the ocean. You know, there's no God. No rules against killing. Young people, it's gonna increase. Towns in West Virginia, people are on the news, "Well, I didn't think it would happen in our town." Is it happening here? Our little town, our sweet little town, our clean, our nice. I walk by kids on our 1,800 population, one stoplight, drugstore, once drugstore, little town, Peyton City. And I've walked by kids and they didn't know I was even on the sidewalk. I said, "Hi. I'm the one getting off the sidewalk, by the way," because they didn't even see me. What a life. No God, no rules. Saw a young man at a bus station. Had a big white t-shirt with a red circle around and a line drawn across it. And underneath that was the word rules, which meant no rules. I asked Judy, "I wonder if I walked up behind him with a baseball bat and just whopped him upside the head real hard. He'd take kindly to that." "Oh, your shirt said no rules. I can just do what I want to." "Well, that doesn't apply to me." Yes, it does. Land of liberty doesn't mean you can do anything you good and well please, does it? George Washington's farewell address, we quote, "Let it be simply asked, where is the security for life, for reputation and for property, if the sense of religious obligation desert?" If it leaves, it's on its way out, isn't it? The sense of religious obligation has deserted our country. And it started at the top and it's working down. Real quick, like a snowball downhill. The 13 colony constitutions and each state constitution, every person appointed to public office shall say, listen, "I do profess faith in God the Father and Jesus Christ, his only Son, and in the Holy Ghost, one God blessed forevermore, and I do acknowledge the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be given by divine inspiration." See where we began? Where our foundation was? Crime on the increase. We're the world leader in violent crimes and divorce, as we said. Increased 794% since 1963. But God's law stops all crime. For example, the Sermon on the Mount. Don't be angry. Would that stop a lot of sin? Would that stop a lot of sin? Paul said, "Be ye angry and what? Sin not." Put on the brake. The emergency brake, that's what it'll do. It'll recall. But people don't know that. I want to walk up and hit you. I can't. I don't like you. Don't lust. Would that stop fornication? Would that stop, and 98 or 99% of the aborted babies are due to fornication? Not because of rape. No, no, no. Small percentage. Love your neighbor as yourself. Would that stop a lot of crime? When we lived in Indianapolis, there was a couple playing cards. They'd played cards together for 20 years. One night, this neighbor lost every game. Got so mad, he went home, got a butcher knife, came back and stabbed his neighbor. Killed him. Love your neighbor would have stopped that, wouldn't it? See, you can't imagine doing that, can you? My brother and I had some real knockdown, drag-out fights. But we'd have died for each other. Do unto others. The golden rule. Matthew 7, verse 12. Would that stop crime? All of these things and more. The list just goes on. The authors of the Constitution understood the individual will answer to God in the future and will either be punished or rewarded. They understood that. When does a nation answer to God? George Mason, the father of the Bill of Rights, said, listen to this. When does a nation answer to God? Not in judgment. We're not going to be judged as a nation. As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, so they must be in this by an inevitable chain of events, causes, and effects. Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. Read your Old Testament. Well, we just did in Jeremiah and Lamentations, didn't we? In 1963, we told God to get out. And you know what? He did. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. I don't care what Star Wars weapons we have, how many are in our military, how far spread over the earth we are, how powerful we think we are. There were nations that ruled the world that God brought them down. And we close with Proverbs 14 and verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is the reproach of any people. We need to pray for our country. Yea, verily. What can I pray for? We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray for our leaders. And we need to pray that they do what is right. Get us back to God. More devoutly, more sincerely than ever before. Now that you know this, we've come far from our foundation. We've been knocked off of our foundation, and the devil's behind it all. And I hope no one thinks that this was a political speech, but rather one to warn us of what God has done and what God will do. I may not live long enough to see it. My grandchildren may. I don't want them to see that. I want them to say this was the time when our nation woke up and fought hard to go back and pray to God. Prayer still does good because God is still there. Thank you for listening tonight. That same God that has dealt with all of the mighty nations, even the nations that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream, the nations that Daniel said in chapter 2, verse 44, that God would bring a kingdom that shall never be destroyed like these other kings and kingdoms. Where are they now? But where is God's kingdom? It will last till the Lord comes, and you need to be a part of it. If tonight you have not been baptized into Christ, I've had people snicker when I say that, making fun of God's law. Like we made it up. Like we said, that's what you have to do. But it is what the Son of God, who hung on that cross, said to do before he died. In love for all of humanity, to show our love for him. You know what he said in Luke 6:46? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? He said in John 14:15 and 15:14, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I say. If you love me, keep my commandments. Is he that believeth and is baptized a command? Well, somebody said nobody ever was commanded to be baptized. Well, they didn't read Acts 10:44, did they? Where Peter commanded Cornelius to be baptized. Where in Acts 2:38, the men that asked the question in verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? Did Peter say, let me put my hand on your shoulder or your head, which is what I've seen in a lot of places, and we'll say this little prayer and bingo. You're saved. That would have been a good time for Peter to say that, wouldn't it? Everybody raise your hands and bow your head and close your eyes. Is that what he said? They make fun of us for quoting Scripture. But act like, say this little prayer is in there. I've asked them. Where? Where is it found? Well, you're just Church of Christ. That's what you... No, that doesn't answer it. That's still going to say on the Day of Judgment what it says now, isn't it? Have you done that? Then why not tonight? If you haven't, why not respond to the Lord's will? Comply His will with yours, and you'll be what you've never been before, and that is a Christian, a child of God. Won't you do it now while we stand, while we sing?